And Father, we thank you for all the fun and joy of Christmas, for the pleasure of giving and receiving gifts. We pray that in the midst of it all, you might give us generous and thankful hearts. Help us to share the good things that we have with others. And above all, we thank you for the gift of Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. So we're going to think more now about that gift of the Lord Jesus from the Bible with our first reading. And have we got a slide to go with this, Jonathan? So I'd particularly like you to try and look out for this prophecy of the Messiah, the prophet Micah speaking hundreds of years before the coming of Christ. He says that Jesus will do something in particular. He will stand and something his flock in the strength of the Lord, okay? So try to concentrate really hard and listen out for this word as Matthew reads it. You could cheat and look it up in the Bible, page 933. That'll make it easier for you, of course. But so let's listen to this prophecy of the coming of the Lord Jesus.
Micah 5, verses 2 to 5. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Therefore Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor gives birth, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be their peace. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, God. Well, were you concentrating? Did you spot it? He will stand and shepherd. Well done, oh, very bright congregation at Warburton. He will shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord. Now, there are quite a few famous shepherds in the Bible. Lots of the Old Testament leaders of the people of God are shepherds. Abraham and Moses and great King David. And often, shepherd in the Bible is a picture of a king or a ruler. You know, shepherds protect and provide and guide. So Jesus is going to be this shepherd, this ruler, this king who will provide for his people and protect them. And this word shepherd, it actually means pasture. So in those days, it was quite hard being a shepherd. You didn't just leave your sheep in a field and maybe look at them from your Land Rover or quad bike or whatever. The grass wasn't so brilliant. You had to lead them to pasture and feed them. So this word for shepherd, it actually means he will feed his people. Jesus is the one who will shepherd and feed his people. And let's have the next slide. In a moment, we're going to think about how the shepherds meet the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus.
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloth and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you very much, Helen. Now, why don't we have the first slide up, please? Now, where would you expect these days to find a newborn baby? Where would a baby be born, more than likely? Where would a baby be born? In a hospital, yes. Now, or some kind of medical setting at least, birthing centre or something. I tried to look up the statistics on this. I think about 2% of babies are born at home in the UK. I was surprised by that. I thought it'd be more. Obviously, some are born excitedly by the roadside or in the back of an ambulance or something. But the vast majority of babies born in some kind of medical setting, aren't they? Anybody recognise this care? Eastbourne DGH. Anybody born there? Yes? Two? Okay. Anyway, so most babies born in hospital. Now, what about a royal baby? If it was the baby was a king, where would that baby live and grow up? Where would he go home to after his probably expensive private hospital? Where do kings live? Palaces, yes, palaces, palaces. Kings are to be found in palaces, aren't they? But where is the baby Jesus born? Where do the shepherds find him? It's interesting, twice Luke mentions this strange point. Where is Jesus put when he's born? A stable! Now, I noticed I think we had the up-to-date New International Version translation there or something, Helen. Some of the boring scholar boffin people, they say, well, you know, it might not mean in, perhaps it means guest room, you know. So Joseph has gone back to his relatives and maybe there's no room for them in the guest room. So perhaps they're in the downstairs living room where maybe you brought in the animals for warmth or whatever. So the Bible possibly doesn't mention an inn, doesn't actually talk about a stable, but it does mention something. They laid him in a manger. Well done, a manger. Now, what on earth is a manger? What is it? Yeah, an animal's feeding trough. Is it a bit like the French word for eating or something? I don't know whether they're related. Presumably they are, yes. The manger, the animal's feeding trough. Now, isn't this strange? Jesus not in a palace, not in the glory of heaven, but he comes to share our mess, our poverty. God, who was rich beyond all measure, yet for our sakes became poor, that we might become rich. But why a manger specifically? I mean, why not a cardboard box? What would you normally put in a manger? It's an animal's feeding trough, so in the manger goes straw or hay or some other kind of delicious food for your animal. Yeah, it's food that goes in the manger, isn't it? Maybe for the sheep or something. So why on earth would Jesus be put in a manger? Weird. And are there any real Bible boffins in? Here's Christmas quiz for you. Anybody know what the place name Bethlehem means? This is an elite level of Bible trivia knowledge. Oh, Shirley Austin knows. Go on then, Shirley. House of bread. Okay, it's interesting, isn't it? In the house of bread, Jesus is in the manger. Why? Shirley Austin, do you know this? Because he's the bread of life. He's going to say he's the bread of life, isn't he? Why is he in the manger? Because he's food. So Jesus is the good shepherd, but Jesus is also food for his sheep. So next one, please. Maybe you'll have some fantastic Christmas feast today. I hope you do. Hope you enjoy it. But next one. The Bible is saying to us that Jesus is the bread or food of life. Jesus is really essential. We need him to live, just like we need food to live. We get our life from Jesus, just like you all get your life from your lunch. Jesus is the bread of life. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And we sort of act this out in the communion which we're going to share today. We sometimes say in it that we feed on Jesus in our hearts by faith. So it's just ordinary bread, actually, that we'll be eating. But we're acting out, feeding on Jesus in our hearts by faith. Think today about the manger as you have your Christmas feast. Remember that Jesus is food for his sheep. He is the bread of life. Feed on him in your heart by faith. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Make Jesus the centre of your Christmas feast today and every day. Amen.